It was the 1980s. Communism ruled the world in the country of Romania, but revolution was afoot. On Christmas Day, Ceausescu died, and the church was released. The following year, people in Romania invited their neighbors to come for a large, massive Lord's Supper service. And people from Hungary and Moldova, surrounding areas, countries, made preparation to come. However, crossing the border was no easy task. Even in the middle 90s, when I would go for the first time, it was not easy. Now it is simple. But in those days, it was hard, almost having to buy your way across. One gentleman approaching the border said he prayed, "God, what should I say when they ask me, why am I entering the country?" He said, "I believe God spoke into my heart, and when the border agent asked me, why are you coming to Romania, he said, our elder brother in our family has died. And our father has called a family meeting to discuss the inheritance." He let him pass. Dear friend, when we come to this table, our elder brother's died. His name is Jesus. And the father's called a family gathering today to discuss our inheritance. The inheritance of forgiveness, of eternal life, of the fullness of the Spirit, of heaven itself. We dare not forget. And that is what this table does for us today in divine reminder. Paul writes concerning that in 1 Corinthians 11. And I invite you to hear the word of the Lord in 1 Corinthians 11. Verses 23 and following, where he says to the church at Corinth, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.' And as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But a man must examine himself. In so doing, he is to eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks judgment to himself, if he does not judge the body rightly. For this reason, many among you are weak and sick, and a number sleep. But if we judged ourselves rightly, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are disciplined by the Lord, so that we will not be condemned along with the world. So then, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. If anyone's hungry, let him eat at home, so that you will not come together for judgment. The remaining matters I will arrange when I come." This bread, remember. The cup, in remembrance of me. There are some things as God's children we dare never, never, never forget. Remember, never forget this message. When World War II came to a halt, Germany had been overthrown. Japan was still at battle with us as well as the Soviets. Truman dropped those two horrific bombs, flattening a city and 250,000 people dying in each. Still, the Japanese did not give up, and the Soviets came into China. We continued to bomb Tokyo. And finally, the imperial leader, who was thought to be God in Japan, sent word through Switzerland they would come to unconditional surrender. On the USS Missouri, you've seen the pictures where those papers were signed with MacArthur taking the lead. Then people were jailed for war crimes. One of those was former Prime Minister of Japan, Tojo. He was single-handedly the man who organized the bombing of Pearl Harbor. He would not give up. And when they came to arrest him, he had an X on his chest that his doctor had put there so he could take his revolver and kill himself by shooting through his heart. But evidently the doctor had made a miscalculation and he did not kill himself and he was arrested. Nursed back to health and put into prison. While in prison, Tojo, who wore dentures, needed new teeth. And the American military had them made for him. And when he put them in, unknown to him, on a top plate, where he would rub his tongue until he died. In Morse code, some American dentist had put the dots and dashes that said, "Remember Pearl Harbor." Some kind of wicked humor that Tojo would never know, but an American military dentist did. He was simply saying, never forget. On this pulpit, there is a hole. We built this building over 20 years ago, and it was a glorious day. We had a month-long celebration. This pulpit was handmade, my specs, just to fit me. And one of our guest preachers, who was a Super Bowl ring-wearing winner from Denver Bronco days, Bull Durham, Bull Bramlett, smacked this pulpit and knocked a hole in it the first week it was here. Dust flew. Made me mad. A carpenter came and said, "Pastor, I can fix that and you'll never see it." And I said, "Let me think on it." For 20 plus years, I've left that hole there for a reason, because every time I rub my hand across it, I remember if God can save a man as wicked and as vile as Bull Bramlett, He can save anybody. That hole, that rough place, just helps me remember the grace of God. There are some things we dare never, never, never forget. And this table preaches doctrine we must remember. What is it we should never forget? Three items from this text. Number one, this morning, never forget, forgiveness of sin is in Christ alone. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to the cross I cling. You have nothing in you. that will lead you to salvation. It is all Jesus. His marred body, His shed blood. Never forget that forgiveness of sin is in Christ alone, not in baptism, not in a preacher, not in a membership, not in a church, not in good works. It is in Christ alone. That's what this table reminds us. It's what Paul said in Ephesians 1 in verse number 7, that in Him, that is in Jesus, we have redemption through His what? Blood. The forgiveness of our trespasses. And we all are sinners according to the riches of His grace. It's in Him. Never forget that it is in Christ alone that your sins can be forgiven. I'm telling you, if He can forgive a vile, wicked, thief, malefactor, you're worse than him and He'll forgive you. Never forget that forgiveness of sin is in Christ alone. Secondly, never forget Christians are called to walk in holiness. Never forget it. In this text, in verse 28, Paul says, "But let a man examine himself. In so doing, he is to eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks judgment to himself, if he does not judge the body rightly." This is a time to remember our forgiveness. It is a time to remember our sinfulness and confess our sin and walk in holiness. Examine yourself. Pharisees examine others. Spirit-filled believers examine themselves. I don't need you to examine me. I need you to look in your own mirror. Self-examine yourself today. Are you where you ought be? I just sent my son back to Liberty Law School. He just finished his first semester, had 5 courses, took 5 tests, and 3 weeks ago, as he had a week long of taking those exams, I'd text him every afternoon, say, "How was it?" Five times he sent me back one word: brutal. Brutal. I watched him while he was home for 3 weeks. He'd check his email every morning. He'd just wait, and finally those grades started to trickle in. He passed all his courses. He was ecstatic. He was excited. He had worked hard. One last one, waiting on it. Wait, he said, "I did worse on this than anything." Got the best grade on the one he thought he did the worst in. Isn't that the grace of God in your life and mine? When we think we're nothing, God makes us something. And when we think we're something, God has a way of bringing us to humility. Examine yourself today. Give yourself a threefold examination. Number one, ask yourself, are you saved today? Are you saved? Do you know that you know Christ? Don't come to this table except that you're saved. Ask yourself, secondly, not only am I saved, am I sold out? Am I sold out? That song the choir was doing, my soul, I love that song. If the whole realm of nature was mine, if I owned the stars and the moon and the sun, it'd be a present far too small. What does God ask? He asks for your all. He wants all of you. Are you walking in lordship? Are you sold out? Examine yourself, are you saved? Examine yourself, are you sold out? Thirdly, examine yourself, are you sanctified? Are you walking in holy? Do you have sin in your life you've not dealt with? Friend, you need to come. After you're saved, we have sin. We all have it, and we confess it. And 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Here in my pocket A young man got saved in this building not a month ago. He brought me this after church, and he said, "Pastor, please read this." And I took it. I read it, and we've got to train him. He's just not a disciple yet. And he told me who he was and when he was baptized, like I couldn't even remember him, but I do remember him. He said, "I've been struggling a lot lately. Everything God says do, I don't do it. I'm just like Thomas out of the Bible. I'm doubting. So many of my friends are not saved." And then he said this, "It's easy when I'm in church, but so hard when I'm out of church. Pray for me. I did not even take part in communion because I didn't feel worthy." Well, let me tell you, if you feel worthy to come here today, you'll eat and drink damnation to yourself. We're not worthy. This young boy just needs to understand grace. That even when we've fallen short, we cry out, "Oh God, forgive me." And he casts it far as east is from the west to the depth of the ocean. But you dare not come in your haughtiness to this table. Come examining yourself. Knowing that we must never forget sin, the forgiveness of sin is in Christ alone, that we are called in holiness, and thirdly, we must never forget that we live in a community of faith. We are to be one together. It's what he says in verses 33 and 34, that when you come together to eat, in verse 34, when you come together to eat, oftentimes the Lord's Supper be taken at the end of a fellowship meal, and then they would have this remembrance meal, and some people would come with wrong motive just to get their belly full, and Paul was saying, don't come for that. If that's the problem, eat at the house, and then come together. We are one together. We are to be one church. One body. That's why in a moment when we pass this bread, we'll ask you to take it from the plate like you receive Christ individually, but then hold it and we will take it all together to show our unity in the faith. The church is one. We're to be unified. You don't find uniformity. We're not all alike. But you find unity. You find koinonia. We come together. It's why Paul said, it's one of the great verses, we don't quote it a lot, but we need to remember it, in 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse number 8, look at these words where Paul said, "Having so fond an affection for you," speaking to the church at Thessalonica, "we were well pleased to impart not only to you the gospel of God," we give you the gospel, "but also our own lives." We give the good news, but we give ourselves because you had become very dear to us. That's the way we're to be one to another. We give the gospel, but we give ourselves. Amen. Brother Russo did it. Brother Jerry did it, guarding the faith and leading. And I've tried to do it now for 26 years. And I look down through the 120 years of this church. I was at a wedding yesterday and had three or four deacons. We were standing around there, these young men, a little younger than I am. And we were talking. And I remember the ordination of these men. And we were talking about our church as we were waiting for the reception and talking about it and talking about the coming generation, our children's children, how we got to grow them up and keep them in the church. And one of them said, "You know, Pastor, we've had highs and lows and ups and downs, but isn't it good that God graced our church with never having a major division within it?" I said, "Yes, sir, you have to work at that. You got to guard that." Now, you don't sell out for unity above truth, but you call people to holiness and truth and togetherness. After we take this supper, somebody ought to get up out of your seat and come down here and join this church today. We're going to have an invitation right after the Lord's Supper. Somebody ought to come get saved today. Give your heart and life to Christ. You ought to come like a vile thief. If you call on his name, the Bible says he'll forgive you, your sins, save you. Some of you need to come and link your life with his church. I met a couple coming in out here this morning. They have a house down at Perdido, and they come here and stay a few weeks, and they both shook my hand. They said, "My soul, we wish God let us move here. We'd join this church today." I said, "Well, we'd let you do it. Won't you just move next week? That'd be good." And he said, "Well, I have a job." I said, "Well, quit your job and come by faith." And no, I didn't do that. But he said if we were going to be here, we'd be apart. Some of you are here, and you need to say with them, if we were here and you are here, then you ought to be apart. Remember, never forget that we live in a community of faith. Now listen, in a moment I'm going to have us all stand, and we're going to recite together, I believe. And after we share this covenant, I'm going to ask you to say that standing, and then I'm going to ask you to turn and get on your knees, and I'm going to lead us, and I'm going to kneel here, and I'm going to pray. And after I pray, I'm going to come right here to the table. Our men will come, and we will take the Lord's Supper, and then we will extend an invitation for some of you to respond to Christ, respond to membership, to respond by faith. Never, never, never forget this due. In remembrance of our Lord. Let's rise to our feet, and as we do, you share with me aloud what we believe as our family of faith. Join me now. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the church of the living God, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You join me on your knees as we bow before our Lord, as we prepare to take the Lord's Supper. Dear Father, thank you for sending your Son to die for me. Thank you, Father, that you allowed him to suffer and you raised him from the dead. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for being beaten, marred, crushed, and crucified. Thank you for becoming sin for me. Thank you for your broken body, your shed blood. As the shepherd here, we together declare, we shall never forget. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. As you slide into your seat, our deacons come now. And I remind you once again that his body, the bread, broken for you. For me, when they give you this piece of bread, hold it and remember the price that was paid for your salvation. Gentlemen, come and serve the bride of Christ. As a child, I'd sit where you sit. I heard Ike Ford, later his brother Nolan as our pastor, Tommy Banks, E.L. Patton. I heard him say it over and over and over and over. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of any sin. One day that became real to me. I walked down an aisle and gave my heart to Christ. From that day to this, I've learned, I've remembered, I think I know more, sometimes I think I know less. But it was the blood. Without that blood, there's no eternal forgiveness. But He did it. He did. Just for you. He shed His blood in redemption. Be grateful today and drink all of it. Blessed be the name. Now listen to me. We're not done. We're going to give an invitation. Don't leave. Don't dare go out that door. But before we give an invitation, I want us to fellowship, because that's what this meal's about. Amen. I want you to find somebody. I want you to thank them. I want you to hug their neck. Tell them thank you.